Good morning, Chapel. The Bible says that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our souls and with all our minds. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like unto it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two laws depend all the law and the prophets. Amen. Welcome to chapel. You have already enjoyed praise and worship by the gospel choir. We will have our scripture, prayer, introduction of the speaker, our sermonic selection, and then we will have the word proclaimed. Amen. Amen.
A reading from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56. Hear the word of the Lord. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you not want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. The Reverend Dr. Gregory M. Howard is a native of Lancaster, Virginia, and currently resides in Williamsburg, Virginia. He is married to the former Margaret Edmond and is the proud father of two daughters, Destiny and Holly. Dr. Howard is senior pastor of First Baptist Church East End in Newport News, Virginia, where he promotes kingdom-like living by unconditionally loving God and all of God's people. Prior to leading the FBCEE congregation, Pastor Howard served as pastor of Union Branch Baptist Church in Chesterfield, Virginia, and Jerusalem Baptist Church in Sparta, Virginia. Pastor Howard is a member of the Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity and holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Organizational Management and Development from Bluefield College and a Master of Divinity degree from the Samuel DeWitt Proctor School of Theology at Virginia Union University. Reverend Howard earned a Doctor of Ministry degree in homiletics from the Aquinas Institute of Theology at St. Louis University. Dr. Howard is also an adjunct professor at Virginia Union University and its Samuel DeWitt Proctor School of Theology. Civically, he is the Vice President of Baptist General Convention of Virginia.
So, in my church, we call this time of the service the sermonic hymn. And why we do that is because this gives us a time to reflect on God before we hear words that we may agree with, may disagree with, will encounter, might change our lives, might not change our lives. So I invite you into a practice that I do. I tend to think about the many ways that I've made it through whatever it is, a hard semester, a paper that I accomplished. And every time I say yes, I thank God. That every time there's a joy in me, I thank God. So I invite you in this time to think and thank God in whatever way you need to, whether that's closing your eyes, whether that's a soft gaze, but give yourself permission to just think and thank.
Oh, all that's on our lips is hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You did it for me.
You have won it all for me.
Thank you for your love. Thank you.
Good morning unto you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. What a joy it is to be in the presence of our God and alongside of like-minded and spirited people of God. We praise God for this awesome experience to witness and to hear from our Creator. And certainly, I must thank God for the invitation to come and share. We thank God for your president, and for Pastor Brian, and for this awesome choir, gospel choir, for Celeste and the multicultural services department, and for Kevin as well on yesterday, and the seminarians who received me, and I had a blessed time on yesterday sharing with them, and to entire faculty and staff and awesome student body here at EMU. You are a royal priesthood, so we thank God for you. The scripture has been read and lifted, and the thought as well has been captured and is posted in the bulletin, the program, which is entitled, Remain on Route. Remain on Route. Let us pray. God, again, we call upon your name, that you will now touch the tongue, the mouth, as you have done so with the heart and the head and the spirit of this earthen vessel, your preacher. We pray, God, that we will hear from you, that we will be encouraged, that we will be challenged for your glory's sake. Bless me, bless us all. It is in the marvelous and wonderful name of he who died but still lives, because he got up early on a Sunday morning, our risen Lord, Jesus the Christ. Remain on route. Paulo Coelho's 1988, The Alchemist, captures a unique story and narrative of a young man, former seminarian student turned shepherd by the name of Santiago's, pursuit to obtain his personal legend. He was constantly reminded day in, day out, and certainly each night over a series of nights, by way of a dream, that there was a great treasure awaiting him in a distant land in the northern parts of Africa. So he set out from Andalusia, across the waters and even rugged terrain and the sands of northern Africa, ultimately into Egypt, to long to obtain or grasp or grab hold of this treasure that was awaiting him and interpret it to be ultimately what God was requiring of him. And along the way, he was taunted and tricked, abandoned and assaulted, bullied and beaten. But yet through it all, he remained on route. He was faithful. And although he did not find within those sands in Egypt the treasure he longed for, but subsequently upon making his way back home, he discovered it there, right there, right there, resting as the pillow, if you will, that he laid his head upon each night. A great narrative. But certainly this text read in our hearing and our point of departure this morning is one that also demonstrates or illustrates unto us how through it all we must be faithful and remain steadfast at all costs in order to obtain not only our personal legend, but to fulfill the call and the purpose that God has for each of our lives. The Bible shares with us as the days drew near for him to be taken up, speaking of Jesus, he steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem. Jesus himself had already experienced a fairly successful ministry. By the grace of God, the hands of Jesus, even his mere words, had been used to heal those who had been infirmed, to release those who have been held captive by way of the many plights and predicaments and pains that have afflicted their body. He had even calmed the seas and fed over 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves of bread. He had done a great work, but yet something compels him in this text, in this 51st verse, to go a little further, which speaks unto me, speaks unto us. I trust that no matter how successful we dare say we have been up to this point, whether from freshman to sophomore to junior and now even senior year, and those beyond those days, God is still demanding and requiring more of us, and it requires of us as well to declare our destination. Jesus was determined that now the place that he was to ultimately rest his feet and fulfill his divine purpose was not in Capernaum nor Jericho or Bethany, but it was in Jerusalem, the high city. And I would like to think that day by day the Lord is still whispering unto us, and we must be attentive and heed to the call of the Lord, or that compulsion or that compelling spirit of our Lord that is demanding of us to set sail or to make our way to our proverbial Jerusalems. We must declare our destination. I would like to assume and even suggest that for many of our students in particular, Jerusalem might very well be graduation. It might very well be obtaining your degree and then going out into the workforce and being one who will transform this world, not only based upon the doctrine and the disciplines that you have studied and you have learned and mastered, but also by the Spirit of Christ that resides in you. He set his face towards Jerusalem. And in doing so, he seemingly transforms his posture. Again, he was steadfast. In order for each of us to make our way to our destiny, we must be resolute. We must be determined. And oftentimes, it requires of us walking in a different manner than we have walked before. It requires of us adopting a new language, a new vernacular, and even surrounding ourselves with comrades or cohorts or people who are designed to make their way as well to their personal place of destiny. That we must ensure that we are on the Lord's side and we are keeping company with those as well who are fervently longing to make their way to Jerusalem also. So he set his face. And perhaps there are those of us who are oftentimes looked upon as one who is disconnected with the former days or communities that we were once a part of, but we are to be bold in our positioning and dare say that it's not that I've forgotten where I've come from, but I am determined to make it to that place that God is beckoning and requiring of me to meet up with God and experience the totality and the fullness of God's grace that is in store for me. So we must be determined, we must be resolute, we must set our face toward our proverbial Jerusalem. But here's ultimately the thesis of the proposition that rests in this text. That in spite of each of us being determined and having this call or this conviction, this compulsion to go even higher in the Lord and in the Lord's service, we will meet up with opposition and resistance. But we ought not to retreat or I should say even retaliate toward those or against those who might pose or present themselves as threats, but we must remain faithful and remain on route. The Bible says that Jesus sent James and John, you know, 2/3 of the inner circle ahead of him to prepare the way. And the Bible clearly pronounces and proclaims, or as it reads and registers, that they would not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And there would be those who would see a certain determination or an objective or a goal in us and our pursuit to fulfill it, and would do just about anything to try to negate or hinder us from even the promises of God. They would not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And certainly we understand it was a Samaritan village. So it was in reality something that had to deal with their social, cultural, and even ethnic or racial realities and the distinction or the differences between the ancient Jews and the Samaritans. So some persons might very well try to prohibit you or keep you based upon your gender or your race or your cultural experience, your upbringing. They tried to keep him from the place of his ultimate destiny. They would not receive him or provide unto him a safe haven or a resting place along his journey. And James and John, the church, James and John, those who had followed the Lord now for at least 1 year of his 3-year public ministry, ask of the Lord, would you have us to call on and call down fire from heaven and consume them for not receiving you, as did the great prophet Elijah? Would you have us to deal with them? And come on now, we love the Lord, and some of us have been saved now for at least 2 or 3 days, but there are times, you know, there are times when you are even in pursuit of doing that which is good and pleasing in the sight of God, and you meet such resistance. You just want to make something of your life, make your folks proud, and ultimately glorify God in your service, and you're not bothering anyone. You're minding your own business, but there will be persons that will try to prohibit or keep you from your divine destiny, and something stirs up in you, you know, and like James and John, or the spirit of James and John, and you want to remind them that, okay, you know, again, I've only been saved for like 23 hours now. So they asked the Lord, would you have us to cause fire to come down and to consume them? They had the spirit of retaliation, but the Lord rebuked them, not the Samaritans. He challenged the church. He challenges us, each of us, that have been commissioned and called by God, and the God who is expecting of each of us to fulfill our purpose that he has invested in each of us. He says oftentimes it's best to just simply move on as opposed to going back and retaliating or wasting time trying to resolve deep-seated issues and matters in the life of others, when what I am requiring of you is to move forward. And along that way, there will be others who will receive you and entreat you, and others that you will be able to minister unto yourself. He begs of us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There will be opposing ideologies and even theologies, political views, and even those who will categorize us and judge and condemn you, each of us, based upon your social cultural reality. But the Lord says, remain on route, for I have great purpose for you. That there's a place, there's a plateau, there's a plan that I have in store for you that I know that you can fulfill, but you have to remain faithful. And the Bible clearly shares with us that they simply moved on to another village. So my concluding thought is this, that through it all, whatever your personal legend is, in spite of the whippings and the beatings, and in spite of all of that which others may have to say and how they would try to hinder you or hold you back or keep you from your Jerusalem, wherever your Jerusalem may very well be, if you know that God has given it unto you, if you know that God is requiring of you to make it there and to fulfill this task or this goal or this assignment, then we now, you have the responsibility of not only declaring your destination and transforming your posture by studying harder, by loving more, by being more focused and determined, but we also must remain on route. And the perfect paradigm is the one who shares with his disciple in the text that we are to remain on route. Because Jesus himself left his hometown in heaven, Emmanuel, God in flesh, the incarnate one. He came down here, and throughout his life, and in particular his 3 years of public ministry, he faced the wrath of Pharisees. He faced the wrath of even some of his own disciples who doubted him and denied him and even betrayed him. But yet in the garden, he said, not my will, thy will be done. He was so determined to make it to Jerusalem in order to establish or equip us with the keys to make it to that new Jerusalem that he did not allow the Caesars of the land or the Herods of the land. He did not allow anyone to keep him from his divine purpose, nor his own perhaps proclivities to hinder him from fulfilling his ultimate purpose. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm glad that he remained on route. I'm grateful unto God that he remained faithful. I'm so glad that he didn't turn back and that he chose not to retaliate. As a matter of fact, upon the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He even told a common thief or a criminal who was hanging beside him, today you'll be with me in paradise. I'm headed somewhere. There's a place for you as well. Your divine destiny, your personal legend, your Jerusalem. So through it all, student body, faculty, staff, each of us, brothers and sisters in Christ, again, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. We just have to remain faithful. And I'm believing that all of us, or many of us, can already attest that God will exalt us, God will deliver us, God will bless us, God will keep us, God will see us through, and God, who is with us in all places, not only at the land of our destination, but also with us throughout the process, will declare unto us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So students, midterms, finals, winter break, perhaps some chaos happening in your life, currently, financial woes, family problems, remain on route. Spring term is coming, and the devil will get real busy, in particular for those who are trying to finish strong and walk across that stage and receive their degrees. Remain on route. Others who are not here with you, whom you love, may try to sway you and divert your attention, remain on route. And I must say this, in light of the reality of each of us celebrating multiculturalism and certainly race and religion and diversity, in light of all of this social unrest, and even that which causes tears to run down our faces in light of what we witnessed in recent days in California, let's not even allow the bad news to negate us or deter us. Let's remain faithful, fueled by the faith of a risen Lord that has called us, knows what's before us and ahead of us, and all we have to do is exercise our faith. Remain faithful, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor and our journey will not be in vain. God, thank you for this time together. Cause us to forever treasure this word in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, Brian. Bless you, Brian.